humble yourselves before Almighty Yahweh's grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow before you at this time, giving glory to your holy name. We thank you for this Sabbath day and opportunity to come together. Truly, Father, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would prepare your people as we're preparing for the feast of the seventh month, Father. Each day this month, as we seek to get closer to the Day of Atonement and the feast of the seventh month, Father, as we prepare our lives to become at one with you, we ask, Father, that you would take anything that is unseemly, anything that is wicked within us, and cast it out. Cover it with the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, whom we truly love and are seeking to be more like, Father. We ask for forgiveness for our sins, and we ask, Father, that you would bless your servants, each and every one of us that has dedicated our lives to you. So we ask, Father, at this time, that you bless those that have petitioned before you, that you bless each and every one that has come together to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, because we know that Yahshua is coming soon. So help prepare people, Father. Help each one of us to overcome this world and sin the devil. We love you and thank you. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these things and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled Morally Bankrupt. In our present society, many people are falling into serious economic trouble. We find bankruptcies are at an all-time high. But Almighty Yahweh can solve anyone's financial problems. But the problem isn't financial. It's moral. The majority of our society is morally bankrupt because they don't keep the commandments of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 to start the message of Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to start there in verse 1. Every commandment which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers. Now, the land that he swore to Israel was that land of milk and honey, the Holy Land. The land that he has directed us to is the kingdom of Yahweh. You shall remember all the way which Yahweh Elohim led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, from the first day of trumpets, the first day of the new moon of the sixth month, which is Elul, which we saw, and the message there was Elul. And it was about actually a time to reflect. That's what the title was of that message. It was a month of repentance and a personal reflection that culminates with trumpets. Okay? But from trumpets to atonement is 10 more days. See, so we have like 40 days from the first day of the sixth month to Day of Atonement. So I'm equating that with the 40 years that they went around in the wilderness. Okay? We have 40 days to get our act together, you might say, before the Day of Atonement, that we can be at one with Yahweh. He says that he did that. He had him go in the wilderness for 40 years that he might humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which we know is the bread from heaven, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Your raiment did not wear out on you, neither did your child. These 40 years, and you shall consider in your heart that as a man corrects his son, so Yahweh your Elohim corrects you. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yahweh your Elohim is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim for the good land which he has given you. But truly, we want to bless Almighty Yahweh for all the blessings he's given us. Because despite the economic problems in our society, he has blessed us with everything that we need on a daily basis. Verse 11, it says, beware lest you forget Yahweh your Elohim in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and dwelt in it, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and you have multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, we never want to put ourselves in a position where we're going to forget Yahweh. But too often, people that receive all the blessings that we have here in this country forget where these blessings come from. And like I said, a lot of people are struggling right now financially. A lot of people are filing bankruptcy. They're having economic problems. Okay? So what the problem is not the economics. Because Yahweh says he will bless each and every one of us with the things that we have need of. But we don't want to get to a point where we have so many blessings that we've forgotten Yahweh. It says in verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and dwell in, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, when you have all this money, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 15, it says, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which the fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground in which there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you. And that's the problem. Too many people, see? Too many people are just not humble. They receive the blessings from Almighty Yahweh, and they're not humble enough in receiving these blessings. That he might prove you to do you good at your latter end, And that's what Yahweh wants. He wants us to be blessed in our latter end. See? And this is the purpose that we go through these changes. But we know that Yahweh says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us out of them all. All. Unless you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has acquired this wealth. But you shall remember that Yahweh your Elohim, for it is he that gives you the power to acquire wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as at this day. And it shall be, if you shall forget Yahweh your Elohim and walk after other Elohim and serve them and worship them, I testify you against this day. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you. So shall you perish because you would not listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. So this is the difference between those who are going to serve Yahweh and be a part of his kingdom and those who are not. Those who are morally bankrupt versus those who are morally blessed because they've received the gift from Almighty Yahweh. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to start over there in verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1, it says, the priests and the Levites, even all the tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of Yahweh made by fire and his inheritance, and they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. Yahweh is their inheritance, as he has spoken to them, and this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be of ox or sheep, that they shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain, of your new wine and of your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep, you shall give him. For Yahweh Elohim has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of Yahweh, and he and his sons forever. And if the Levite comes from any of your gates out of all Israel, where he sojourns and comes with all the desire of his soul to the place which Yahweh shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of Yahweh his Elohim. As all his brethren, the Levites, do, who stand there before Yahweh, they shall have like portions to eat, besides that which comes of the sale of his patrimony. Now, we're speaking of the leaders, the ministers of Israel, okay? The Levites did not receive an inheritance. All the rest of the tribes received land that they were going to live. The Levites did not. Okay? Now, we have brethren that tithe faithfully. And I'm talking about every time they get their paychecks or whatever, you know, they tithe. But it's a lot more to it than just the tithe. Okay? Now, I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 to 34. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy to Yahweh. And this is the first tithe. And if a man will redeem any of his tithes, he shall add the fifth part of it. And all the tithe of the herd of the, or the flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth, shall be holy to Yahweh. He shall not search whether it is good or bad, neither shall he change it. And that for which it is changed shall be holy, and it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Now, again, as I'm speaking of the individual that is tithing faithfully, Okay? A lot of people look at this one way. They look for spiritual blessing. They want to be blessed. So they tithe, thinking that, you know, this is the only way to receive those blessings. But Yahweh is saying they got to keep the whole council. They got to keep the feast days. They got to keep the Sabbaths. They got to keep every aspect of the royal law, as we spoke last week, so that they're not morally bankrupt. See? Malachi chapter 3. See, and this message is coming through the last days. The Eliyahu message. My mighty one is Yah. In chapter 3 of Malachi, it says, behold, starting in verse 1, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and Yahweh, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The temple is us, brethren. The temple in the last days of the building block, it's us. Those who have Yahweh's Holy Spirit are being built into a spiritual temple. And the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, he comes, says Yahweh of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Is it just the people who are tithing? No. You got to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh, not just one aspect of it. See? I started with the tithing because there are people who are very faithful in sending their tithes in. But it's a lot more than just that. See? It's a lot more to it. It says, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer unto Yahweh offerings in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahweh, as in the days of old, and as in the ancient years. And I will come near to you in, to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and to turn aside the sojourner from his right. And fear not me, says Yahweh of hosts, for I, Yahweh, change not. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. So he's talking about those who are dabbling in pagan worship. Adulterers, false swearers, those who are liars, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. As well as those who are not keeping the third tithe, taking care of the widows and the fatherless and the sojourners. And part of that goes to the Levites as well. See, this is why we have to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh and not pick and choose what commandments we want to keep. Verse 7, it says, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you rob me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now with this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I have a note here. The devourer as the tax man. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, says Yahweh of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightful land, says Yahweh of hosts. Almighty Yahweh is looking for a special people, a people who are willing to keep every one of his commandments, not just a few. And like I said, there are people who are tithing faithfully. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's the other parts of it that go along with it, the mercy going along with it, the treating your brother the right way. See, it's just not about the money. It's more to it than that. See, you have to love your neighbor. You have to love your brother. You have to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh. And that's the part I want to deal with today about morally bankrupt, because like I said, it's not about the money. There are a lot of people who are financially flush, who are being blessed to give money. It's like the poor widow that gave her two mites. She gave of her whole living, whereas though the rich were casting in to the offering of their riches, and it didn't affect them. You know, say they were millionaires or whatever in that day's economy, and they were given $100,000. That still was only a tenth. See? So it didn't hurt them. But this poor widow gave of her living. She gave her total, her two mites. Deuteronomy chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is about the sabbatical year. But what I want you to understand, we're talking about morally bankrupt. We're talking about people who are living a life that is contrary to what Almighty Yahweh has taught them or is teaching them spiritually. And I'm not just talking about keeping the Sabbath, because keeping the Sabbath is a very, very integral part of the covenant. And you need to keep the Sabbath as well as tithe. You need to keep the feast days as well. It says, at the end of every 7 years you shall make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release that which he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because Yahweh's release has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner you may exact it after that seventh year. But whatever of yours is with your brother, your hand shall release. However, there shall be no poor with you, for Yahweh will surely bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you for an inheritance to possess it, if only you diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to observe to do all this commandment which I command you this day. For Yahweh your Elohim will bless you as he has promised you, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. And this is only going to happen if we're being faithful to Almighty Yahweh. In verse 7 it says, if there be with you a poor man, one of your brethren within any of your gates, in your land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall surely open your hand to his need. Open your hand to him and shall surely lend him enough for his need and that which he wants. Beware that there is not a base thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release is at hand. This might be the sixth year, just like this is the sixth month, before the seventh month. It's the sixth year, and this poor brother comes to you wanting to borrow some money. See? You're not supposed to think, well, you know what? The seventh year is... year, it's only 6 months away or whatever, and this person might not pay me back in time, you know, so I don't think I'm going to lend it to him. I'm not going to, you know, help them out, even though I have the wherewithal to do so. See, you know, that's when you have a base thought in heart, because it's telling you here in the word that you're supposed to help that poor brother, and you give him nothing. Cries to Yahweh against you, and it is a sin to you. You shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing Yahweh Elohim will bless you in all your work and all that you put your hand to. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall surely, open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and to your poor in your land. See, we can't have a base thought in our heart saying, well, you know, the sabbatical is coming up, so I can't lend, you know, because I'm not going to get it back. When you open your hand to give, when you lend to someone, you should not even worry about getting it back. See? That'll be up to them. All you have to do is what Yahweh blesses you, so you're not considered morally bankrupt. See? Because you have a base thought in your heart. Isaiah chapter 25. This is a song of praise for redemption. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 25. O Yahweh, you are my Elohim. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Even counsels of old, and faithfulness and truth, for you have made a city a heap, of a fortified city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall a strong people glorify you. A city of terrible nations shall fear you, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy and his distress. Yahweh is there for each and every one of us that is struggling financially. You know, if he knows you, he knows what our needs are before we even ask. A refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, Yahweh knows what's coming down the pipe, brethren. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. He knows the end from the beginning. So, you know, we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. You know, there's something you have need of, Yahweh's going to provide it. We just have to be patient. We have to trust him. Jeremiah chapter 6. The problem with Israel is that they did not trust Yahweh wholly. Even though he took care of them. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says, in this manner, says Yahweh, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. See, because the watchmen, when they hear the sound of the trumpet, they know the destroyer, the enemy, is coming. And they're supposed to warn the people. And we know Satan the devil is trying to devour Yahweh's people. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them? Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. And truly, that has happened. Israel rejected the law of Almighty Yahweh. Even Judah, they rejected his word. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse 1. The word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house. That's where the judges stood, in the gate. That's where the law was taught, even though it was taught at the temple, but it was taught in the gate because the elders of the land stood there and they discussed it. And proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all you of Judah. And you know, Judah is one who praises Yah. It's a worshiper of Yahweh. that enter into these gates to worship Yahweh. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. He's telling them to repent, which is what we've been preaching lately. Repent to all the people. Trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute justice between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, which is that third tithe again, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other Elohim to your own hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers. And we know that's the promised land. From of old, even forevermore. Behold, you trust in lying words. That cannot profit. Will you steal? If you steal, is that not a violation of the covenant? Thou shalt not steal. You shall not steal. Murder. We're not supposed to commit murder. And commit adultery. We're not supposed to commit adultery. And swear falsely. We're not supposed to lie to one another. And burn incense to Baal. We're not supposed to walk after the other Elohim that you have not known. Yahweh says, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall have no other Elohim before me. But those who are morally bankrupt are not keeping the covenant. See? They've walked away from Yahweh's commandments. It says in verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. And he's talking about the temple of Yahweh. We are delivered that you may do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says Yahweh. So when Yahshua came to the temple, the first thing he did was cleanse the temple. He got rid of the money changers. See? And the last thing he did before he was impaled was he went in and cleansed the temple again and got rid of the money changers. Because these people were morally bankrupt. They had lost vision as far as what they were supposed to do in serving Almighty Yahweh. They started to live a ritualistic life, just keeping things rote instead of spiritually. Verse 12, he says, but go now to my place which was in Shiloh, where I caused my name to dwell at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says Yahweh, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Now, this is Jeremiah talking. Israel had already gone into captivity. Okay? Jeremiah is talking to the Jewish people who are about to go into captivity themselves. See? The temple was going to be destroyed, just like Shiloh had been destroyed. But they didn't believe it. They didn't trust. They didn't hear what Jeremiah was saying. See? Because they were morally bankrupt. They had already violated the covenant. They were not keeping the sabbatical year. They were not keeping all of the whole counsel of Yahweh. Verse 16. Therefore, pray not for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them. Neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. See you not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings to other Elohim, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says Yahweh? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, behold, my anger and my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. My question to you today, brethren, is did not Yahweh do what he said? He always does. See, the people of Judah became morally bankrupt because they thought they had the temple, and they trusted in the temple instead of trusting in Yahweh. See? And they probably gave offerings. They probably even tithed. But you know what they didn't do? They were not faithful in all aspects of the covenant. They started to go in to worship the pagan mighty ones around them. They failed to give Yahweh the honor. They failed to give Yahweh the praise. And Jeremiah told them that they were going into captivity. Verse 20, it says again, therefore, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, behold, my anger and my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Verse 21, in this manner says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat flesh, for I have spoke not to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing I commanded them, saying, listen to my voice, Shema, Israel, hear, O Israel, and I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they listened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in their own counsels, and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And that's not the way we want to go, brethren. We want to go forward. We want to go to the kingdom of Yahweh. We do not want to be among the lot of those who are morally bankrupt. Since the day, in verse 25, that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, that yet they listen not to me, nor inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, and they did worse than their fathers. We're not going to be like that, brethren. We're not going to be worse than the fathers in Israel. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Verse 13. See, people know what it is to be financially bankrupt, but they don't seem to know what it means to be morally bankrupt. Yet they go out each day, and they're violating the covenant. They go out each day, and they're doing things that they know are not right, contrary to what Yahweh has told them. In Acts chapter 3, verse 13, this is Peter speaking to the people. And the Elohim of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, has glorified his servant Yahshua, whom you delivered up and denied before the face of Pilate when he determined to release him. But you denied the holy and the righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. talking about Barabbas, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and by faith in his name has this, in his name has his name made this man strong, whom you behold and know. Yes, the faith which is through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This man was healed in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But the things which Yahweh foreshowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Yahshua, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. There's a time that has to be fulfilled before Yahshua returns. Of which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, that they that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall Yahweh your Elohim raise up from you among your brethren, like to me. To him shall you listen in all things whatever he shall speak to you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not listen to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel, and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which Yahweh made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To you first, Yahweh, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you and turning away every one to you from your iniquities. Everyone. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We were in Deuteronomy 18, but I only read down to verse 8. It says, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, when you have come into the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found with you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. One that uses divination, one that practices augury, or an enchanter, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And we're talking about checking your daily horoscopes. That's back to the same paganism right here. See? He's saying that none of these things we're supposed to do. For whoever does these things is an abomination to Yahweh, because these abominations Yahweh, your Elohim, does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with Yahweh, your Elohim. And that's what Yahweh wants. He doesn't want us to be morally bankrupt. He wants us to be spiritually secure. See, people think, oh, it's nothing to go into playing on a Ouija board or doing some of these pagan things that go back to Satanism. See, Satan wants you to believe that there's nothing out there, that he doesn't exist. That's the greatest lie ever told, that he doesn't exist. See? So we're not supposed to use divination or practice augury or being an enchanter or a sorcerer or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. And people do that today. You know, they'll go see Mother Mary or whatever, because they want to know from somebody that's already dead. They're trying to get information from somebody that's passed on because they believe that they've gone into some realm that they can, you know, tell them some knowledge of something that they don't know. Remember what Satan did to Eve. He tricked her and told them that they would know, their eyes would be open, they would know more, you know, like Yahweh. So people, and Samuel did it, I mean, Saul did it. He consulted Samuel after Samuel had died. He had went to one of these women, okay, to find out, he wanted to hear from Samuel, who had died, when all he needed to do was go to the prophet to hear from Yahweh, who was living. We can't become morally bankrupt, brethren, like the people of this earth. It says, for these nations that you shall dispossess, listen to them that practice augury, to diviners. But as for you, Yahweh your Elohim has not permitted you to do so. He's made a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. See? It says in verse 15, Yahweh your Elohim will raise up to you a prophet from among you, of your brethren, like to me. To him shall you listen, according to all that you desired of Yahweh, your Elohim, in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh, my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And Yahweh said to me, they have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up, a prophet from among their brethren, like to you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. See? He was talking about Yahshua the Messiah. And Yahshua came. But you know what? People still today will not hear the words of Yahshua. They will not accept the words of Yahshua. They still want to be morally bankrupt because they want to indulge in the paganism of this world. They want to deal with the wizards and the witches. You know, they think there's something out there that they need to know that comes to this pagan worship. But we know we don't need it. In Malachi chapter 4, turn with me there. See, we're not going to be morally bankrupt if we keep the covenant, because Yahweh has raised up a people, and he wants those people to be his witnesses in these last days. He says in verse 1, for behold, the days come, the day comes. It burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble, and that in the day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, see, there's a separation made, because there are some who fear Yahweh and fear his name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings, and you shall go forth and gamble as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh of hosts. The wicked are going to be destroyed. They're going to be burnt up. That's why there will be ashes under the feet of the righteous. Remember, verse 4, the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. This is the Ten Commandments, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. He is coming soon, brethren. But we have to prepare people, because that's what this is about. We have to prepare people for the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, "Beloved, I entreat you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your behavior seemingly among the Gentiles, that in what they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation." So what's going to happen is that they're going to see your good works, brethren. They're going to see that you're not morally bankrupt. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Since then the Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind." It's telling us to be like Yahshua, who suffered in the flesh. "For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Yahweh." That's the difference, brethren. We're not going to be morally bankrupt like the rest of the world. See? "For the time past may suffice to have worked the desire of the Gentiles, and to have walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine drinking, revelings, carousing, and abominable idolatry." There's some people who can't, you know, go a day without drinking alcohol. There's some people that can't go a day without taking some drugs. See? As I said, these are some of the things that these people who are morally bankrupt are doing. It says they have lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine drinking, revelings, carousing, and abominable idolatries, in which they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? For to this end were the good tidings preached, even to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to the men in the flesh, but live according to Yahweh in the spirit. There's a separation, brethren, between the living and the dead, between the clean and the unclean. Verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be of sound mind, and be sober to prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without murmuring. According as each has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of Yahweh. If any man speaks, speaking as it were the oracles of Yahweh. If any man ministers, ministering as the strength which Yahweh supplies, that in all things Yahweh may be glorified through Yahshua the Messiah, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." We know that we have but a short time, brethren, before Yahshua the Messiah returns. We have to do the right things right now to prepare our lives. Not walking in the lust of this world as you see the people around you are caught up in these things. In verse 12, it says here, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you. But insomuch as you are partakers of the Messiah's sufferings, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed, because the glorious spirit of Yahweh rests upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a despised believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Yahweh in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of Elohim. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the good tidings of Yahweh? They're not going to appear, brethren. They're not going to show up. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the lawless and sinner appear? Therefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Verse 1, it says, then he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lies toward the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man in the middle of them clothed in linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the Elohim of Israel had gone up from the cherubim, from the cherub, upon which it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yahweh said to him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the middle of it. See, because these people weren't morally bankrupt. They were spiritually on top of it. They knew that what was going on, the abominations were saddening them. It was something that upset them. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike, and let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, and the virgin, and the little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. See? Yahweh is not making a distinction. He's destroying those who are not faithful to him, who are not sad over what's going on in this world. Then they began at the old men that were before the house, and he said to them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go forth, and they went forth and killed in the city. And it came to pass while they were striking, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, sovereign Yahweh, will you destroy all the residue of Israel in your pouring out of your wrath upon Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and of Judah is very great. The land is full of blood, and the city full of wrestling, of judgment. But they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh sees not. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. Brethren, we are in the last days. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 1, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to Elohim. In that passage, in Ezekiel, in the last part of verse 11, it says, I have done as you have commanded me. Can we say the same, brethren, to Almighty Yahweh, that we have done as he has commanded? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. And he called to him the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not that which enters into the mouth defiles the man, but that which proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. Then came the disciples and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide is blind, both shall fall into the pit. And Peter answered and said to him, declare to us the parable. And he says, are you also even yet without understanding? Perceive you not that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the belly and is cast out into the dry? But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings, and these are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not the man. So it's not what goes into the man that defiles the man. It's what comes out. As I said, are you morally bankrupt? Do you have these evil thoughts? Are there murders in your heart, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railing? These are the things which defile the man, which defile the man. Our final scripture is taken from Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We're talking about being morally bankrupt. What bankrupts us? We're not talking about being out of money. This is not about financial message. This message is spiritual. We have to be different from those people of the world who are committing these atrocities, these sins against Almighty Yahweh. In Romans chapter 2, it says, for this reason you are without excuse, O man, whoever you are, the judge, for in what you judge one another, you condemn yourself. For you, the judge, practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckon this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and does the same, that you shall escape the judgment of Yahweh. For do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yahweh leads you to repentance? And that's where Yahweh wants you to go, brother. He wants you to repent of those sins that you're committing on a regular basis. But after your hardness and your unrepentant heart, you treasure for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life, but to them that are factious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, to the Jew first, or the worshiper of Yahweh first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew or the worshiper of Yahweh first, and also to the Gentile, the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with Elohim, and Yahweh does not respect persons. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are not just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when Gentiles that have not the law do by nature the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, and that they show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness of this, and their thoughts one with another accusing or else excusing them in the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men, according to my good tidings by Yahshua the Messiah. Brethren, the question is, are you morally bankrupt? We are all a gift to one another from Yahweh. There is a blessing in all of our relationships, even the most difficult ones. So when you feel that there's a problem in your relationship, you have to see where Yahweh is trying to use you, where he's trying to bless you. Think about your purpose, that which Almighty Yahweh has sent you to this world for, this earth. Was it to be a mother or a father, a teacher, or an architect, or a builder, or a counselor, or a laborer, or a faithful servant to him? Each of us have a specific purpose for being here. I am proud to have Almighty Yahweh as my Elohim, and I am willing to praise his name in every situation I find myself, as Daniel did in the days of his captivity. Each of us should be willing to say that, brethren, because if we are seeking to do that which is right in Almighty Yahweh's eyes, we're not going to be morally bankrupt people. We're going to be spiritually secure, so when Yahshua returns, we know that we're going to receive the kingdom. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do that which is right in his sight. At this time, I'd like everyone to stand. We'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, again thanking and praising your name. We ask, Father, that you would truly touch our lives and our hearts, that we would not be morally bankrupt people before you, but we would be spiritually secure in keeping each and every one of your covenant laws, that we would not trust in the temple as the Jews did, but that we would trust in you, Father Yahweh, that we're not going to trust in an inanimate object, but we're going to trust in you, Father, because we know that it's you that gives eternal life, and only through you can we overcome this sinful life. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his blood to cleanse all of our sins. Help us to be repentant sinners, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us again for our sinful nature, and help us, Father, to be faithful in all things, not only the physical things, Father, but the spiritual things. We know that we need to do every aspect of your covenant, not just keeping your Sabbath day, but the tithing, all of it, keeping the feast days, Father, doing that which is right in your sight, getting rid of any idols that are blocking our way to your kingdom. We ask, Father, that you would cleanse us and that we would not be morally bankrupt, but that we would be spiritually secure and keeping your covenant law. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For our closing song, we're going to be singing number 80, Abide With Me. Look up there and see if there's some. Here it is. Here it is. Abide with me, fast for thee.